Guru Nation, welcome to episode 789 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. In this episode, I interview Karma Dixon, who's a remote site monitor at a major CRO. She's someone that drove 15 hours to come to the SOS conference from Wichita, Kansas, all the way to Tucson. In about one day, she made the trip, and it was a must that I get her on the podcast to share her story. And to let everyone know who she is, and you can connect with her. Her link to her LinkedIn is underneath this video. So make sure you go check it out, and hopefully, you enjoy this episode. Not video, I mean audio. This is the podcast. I want to thank the sponsors really quick. Inato. Inato is an amazing place where you can get studies for your site for free at no cost. You do need therapeutic area expertise, but once you have therapeutic area expertise, and this is where my company with Chris can help you get started if you don't. Once you have that experience, there are studies there that you can go get to subsidize to your pipeline. I'm actually using it. I had already one study that I got through it that we went through the SIV process. We were a rescue site. The sponsor ended up ending enrollment. But we did get activated. We did get paid our startup fee. We did our contract just like normally. And now we're working on another site selection visit. So there's always stuff on there for you. I was skeptical at first, but definitely not anymore. Check out Inato, link in the show notes. Also, quick shout out to Creo, eSource, eReg, CTMS, auto invoicing, auto texting, amazing platform. You only pay what you use, so you don't need to use all the features. My company's going on 3 years old now. We started with Creo from day one, and we still haven't used all the features, but we're growing into it. So Creo's a great place for me. It's the only place for me to actually manage my site from end to end. Check it out. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast with Karma, and let me know what you think. Bye-bye. Guru Nation, thank you so much for watching and listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, share. Really means a lot to me. This one's special. This is Karma Dixon. I met her at SOS. I only got 2 minutes to talk to her, maybe three. It was really loud at the after party, but I'm so glad I got to meet you because I could tell right away. There's something different about you. There was like this entrepreneurial spirit in the air. You were definitely a part of it. And you drove. You're insane. You drove from Wichita to Arizona for SOS.
I did. I left on a Wednesday after work and I drove overnight. And yeah, it was quite a trip, but it was well worth it. It was the
A lot
conference
of
was
coffees, a lot of Red Bulls, or what?
I did have a couple of Celsius.
All
There were a couple of
right.
Celsius consumed, but
They help.
aside from that, just music and yeah, rolling the windows down a little bit,
I've
keeping
been
myself
there.
awake.
I've been there. Vegas to Tucson at night trips are actually, they sound fun. They're not when you're, especially when you're by yourself driving back. Not fun, but. Thank you so much, Karma, for coming out. That's a lot of dedication on your end, and your presence was known by many, including me, even though we just talked for 3 minutes. But we talked a lot longer now, pre-recording, and there's a lot of potential. You're kind of just starting out your career, but you started out as an MA, medical assistant. For those that don't know, you are now basically like an in-house CRA, soon to be CRA most likely. I mean, that's kind of where these things
Hopefully.
usually head. Hopefully, yes, but knowing you, like for sure, it's gonna happen. MA, there's a like, I wish more MAs knew about research, but there's su and being an MA, you tell me if I'm wrong. There's such a wide variance between the MAs that just kind of show up and the MAs that really want more for their careers. And it's obvious to outsider, but Apparently, you are one of the latter, but do you agree with this? Like,
Yes, absolutely. So I worked at two different clinics as an MA, and they were very different. At the first clinic that I worked at, I really did seek out additional opportunities. I didn't go through an MA certification program. I was just hired as an MA. I was a CNA before.
okay.
CMA, CNA, worked in nursing homes, long-term care, home health, that kind of thing. So they trained me on the job. And I think typically in an MA program, you would do like phlebotomy and, go through various different things. So I sought out phlebotomy training because that's not something that they really did at the clinic. That I worked for. So I sought that out. They were willing to train me on that. And then I actually went through various different, like I worked in psych there. I worked just in the, general family practice. And then I also did what's called annual wellness visits. So with seniors and whatnot. So I got a wide variety of experience. And yeah, that was really helpful. And I agree. MAs, I mean, they can be very versatile. And if you seek out opportunities, I mean, that can be really beneficial.
The range of MAs, if you put them on a spectrum of like the archetype, like just show up for work, if that's like below average, the bottom end of this extreme or the spectrum is like irresponsible, take a lot of time off, don't show up, come in late. The upper end of the spectrum is curiosity, like what else is there out there for me? And you're one of your offices, I guess, was adjacent to a research site.
Yes.
And you were
So
curious.
I was very curious. Yes, the second clinic that I worked at was attached to a research site, and I would always see the research coordinators walking by. They walked in front of kind of the nursing station that I sat at. So I was like, what did they do? Where are they going? So I just started asking them kind of what they were doing, what their work was like. And I got a little bit of information, but it was still, I didn't really understand essentially what they were saying to me. So while I was working there as an MA, I discovered your video. I started looking just for information. What's a CRC? What's a CRA? What is clinical research? Like, what do they actually do? So I learned a lot that way. And then I just kept asking them, like, hey, just let me know if you guys ever need any help over there. I'm happy to help, happy to,
Really?
transition over. But yeah. So eventually I did. I transitioned over and I started working on the research side is how we
How did
refer
that
to
work
it.
though? Like that transition, like was it like over a period of a few months that you kept asking, like, do you guys need help? Did you actually do anything to like help them before, or like how did you actually make that happen?
So I was it was a I would say maybe a month or two. Maybe two, because I think I just worked there from like October to February at the
Okay.
on the clinic side as an MA. So I was very curious early on.
Okay.
And so a couple of them kind of explained. I went over into their area and kind of talked to them, and they kind of let me know what it was about. And then I spoke to the manager on the research site and just kind of said, hey, I'm interested if, you ever need any additional help. And then I spoke to my manager and on the clinic side, and we kind of figured out a way to make that work. And so then I transitioned over as a clinical research coordinator. And yeah, third, I
Wow.
mean, and also, that role was a little different. I think a lot of times clinical research coordinators will do. You know, they're seeing patients, they're doing the admin work, they're doing regulatory data management. At this at the site that I worked at, there were admin CRCs and then there were patient-facing CRCs. So I came in as an admin coordinator, so I was more communicating with the monitors, responsible for updating or like bringing queries to attention, because we had a da we actually had a regulatory team, a data entry team, which was that's a luxury, but also it benefits you to be a well-rounded CRC. So ups and downs to the different models.
How long did you stay in that role or with that company as a CRC?
I think about 8 months.
8 months. You were the admin CRC the whole time?
Yes. So there were a couple of times, well, yeah, there were times where I would see patients or subjects and like draw blood or I would be in the lab doing different things, but it was mainly the admin portion. So yeah, stayed there for about, I think, 8 or 9 months, and then I was able to move into a remote monitoring or in-house monitoring role, which is
And
where I
that's the same place. That's where you currently are to this day.
am. No. So that was, yeah, I was a clinical research coordinator at the site level, and then I moved to an in-house CRA role at a CRO.
And then
So,
now you're with your remote site monitor with the same CRO or a different? Same?
yeah, with the same CRO.
Okay. So how
Yeah.
long you been there approximately at this CRO?
About a year and a half.
Okay, that's a good amount of time for Gen Z. I'm guessing the job hopping is real in this space, but I guess there's a lot we can get into there with your current role. But I the CRC when you were at the site, you probably like maybe that planted a lot of seeds for you. It sounds like it was a bigger site if they have departments for regulatory.
So they, I guess I don't really know exactly what a big site is versus a small site. I felt like we were maybe mid-sized, but
How
we
many
also,
staff did they have?
oh, maybe 30 to 50 there on site,
Wow,
I
that's pretty
guess.
big. That's mid to big.
Okay. So there were also satellite sites, so like one on the other side of town and then one in a smaller town and a smaller town. So
And I'm guessing a few different PIs and
yes, so at the location that I worked at, I think maybe there were four or five PIs. So yeah, they definitely had a lot of studies at that site. I myself had a lot of studies at that site. And yeah, so I think it was a good experience. And then moving, I guess, to the CRO,
The
that,
in-house,
yeah, that's been a good experience. They had a good, onboarding and training
Now,
and
something to bring up, though, that's important because you have a bachelor's degree, right?
I have an associate's.
You have an associate's. Okay, on LinkedIn, I saw Wichita State. Okay, so
Yes.
no bachelor, but the series, because this comes up a lot with MA, CNA, hey, can I want to work at a CRO, but I have an associate's, I don't have a bachelor's. Was that like a difficult thing for you to overcome during the interview process or just to get the interviews?
I mean, I definitely think just to get interviews, yes.
For
During the
sure.
interview, wasn't really brought up.
So to get the interviews, it was a challenge. And you were hired during like the hiring boom too. So I think it sounds like because that there was a hiring boom going on about a year and a half ago. I remember it well. These CROs were staffing like no tomorrow because of the COVID backlog and all that stuff. And a little bit of that is at least at the CRO level starting to change. Like I think it's like a hiring pause maybe or. I mean, are you seeing this too? Like, not as much movement?
The job market is definitely different now. I certainly don't see as many of the positions that I saw like a year and a half, 2 years ago. Even like local clinical research positions have slowed down, it seems, in this area. More than the positions that I see for like CROs or
Sites are still
sponsors.
booming, I think. I think sites, if they're in the growth phase, are still hiring. Like we're actually thinking of hiring someone else pretty soon. So we're really small though. We only have five coordinators and then me and Jaime. So it's like a small team of seven and then our PIs, but we're still growing. But the companies that are still growing as sites are still hiring. But you're right, the ones that are kind of where they're gonna be. There's no need, I think, to hire. So you're a in-house CRA remote site monitor, and you have a line manager and all that stuff. Has CRA come up in your conversations? What do they tell you?
Oh, yes. So for the role that I'm in, it's actually like, I think that there are several of the CROs that have academies where you come on, you're an in-house monitor, and then you move to CRA, within a certain time frame. And so that's the position that I'm in. Just the time frame, I think, has been maybe extended. I hear a lot that sponsors are really wanting pretty much only senior CRAs and
Right
like,
now, yeah.
yeah.
Right
So
now, it's tough because of that market. Like the supply and demand went way in favor of, like, I think too much staff at the CRO level. And if you weren't promoted to CRA, now the sponsors are pickier, and they want like senior. You're right, everyone wants like the best for their study. And but who, I mean, we know junior CRAs that are way better than senior CRAs. It's just on paper, it's what the sponsor wants, and they're ultimately the ones paying for the study. So,
this industry definitely is focused on how do you look on paper? How many years have you put into this industry? It seems like it's not always about what you can bring to the table, but how much experience or how many years have you put in is
right.
kind of what I've found.
It's true because one of my she comes on video sometimes, Casey Figueroa, who was my CRA CRC at my old site for about 10 years actually, until we sold that site. She came from like an MA school. I think she was a medical biller, but like the same kind of thing. Associate's degree, became a CRC. Then when we got our CRO project, she became a CRA for us. So now she's like, an associate with a CRA, and now she's senior CRA because she's done it for so long. So sponsors don't care anymore, right? But it's initially it's when they care. So that might be some challenge that you run into when transitioning to CRA, but maybe not. I mean, maybe they're gonna get more lenient. Maybe some of the biotechs would get more lenient because you're now an in-house CRA for almost 2 years, so you're at that point where you can probably argue to get in that role too. I don't know if that's what your line manager told you or if they're honest with you, but that's what I see.
Well, I have a great, very encouraging line manager. She's
Good.
constantly providing, support and information. So I think she's being upfront with me, when she
That's what
says
I
it's
hear about your company. Everyone, Karma's LinkedIn's underneath. You can find out for yourself. Connect with her about your company. One of the good things I hear is the line managers are really good for
yes,
the most part.
I will say I have a phenomenal line manager, so I'm very, very happy about that. But I do think, I've been told it's, needs based, and I mean, a lot of the sponsors are saying that they need senior CRAs. So
Okay. So it's more the senior, it's more the issue with the senior than the lack of the bachelor's degree.
I would say, as far as I'm aware, yes.
Okay.
However, I do, on most job postings, they say they want a bachelor's degree. Sometimes they will have the caveat of or equivalent, an equivalent combination of education and experience.
Right.
So,
And that's where you can just take more certification. You ever thought of doing that ACRP or the SOCR or anything like this?
I am hoping to do ACRP soon. Yes, I think I'll
Congrats.
qualify pretty soon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should
So.
already. It's a year and a half here, 8 months there. That's already over 2 years, right? I think you're right at that place where.
So I was looking, I thought I did qualify, but I was looking more in depth on their website, and it looks like they have a tiered system of hours. So if you have a bachelor's, an associate, if you went through like a dedicated clinical research degree program, like they're all different hours.
Wow, they got fancy over there now. All right. Shout out to ACRP. I might be there in May at the one in Anaheim. Are you going?
I actually have an event
You gonna drive to this one?
I am. Yes. I'm gonna drive. That event's in North Carolina, so I can't make. Yeah,
You'll
I
drive to
really
that one too.
Yes.
I'll go to Anaheim. Anyone's coming out there, we're gonna announce something soon with one of our sponsors, but for like after it'll be like unofficial like party thing.
How exciting. Well, sad
Yeah.
that I'm
I
missing
know
that.
there's still time. We can still get you there. But you have something important going on, sounds like.
Yes, it's a yoga retreat. Very important.
Ah, well, don't miss that. Don't miss that. This will be the opposite of that. So you're at the stage in your career where there are a lot of options. You got in during a hot market. You're now in a lukewarm at best market, at least for the CROs. So
Yes.
what are your thoughts for like the foreseeable future? Just ride it out. You seem like you're in a pretty good situation. Like, do you enjoy the job, what you do and all that?
I truly love my job. I do. I love what I do. I love the study that I'm on right now. So they kind of say not to get comfortable, but I am pretty comfortable in my position. So I do, I hope maybe in the next couple of months the market will change. I'll be promoted. I'll start traveling, and I don't know. It's kind of hard to predict, but for now, yeah, I would say I like my position that I'm in.
You're in a good situation where you're in and you have options. There's people right now watching this, listening, probably just wanting to get started. I recommend the site level. I think you would as well.
Yes. For any, I mean, even I hear you talk about medical assistants a lot, and they are phenomenal. They're the perfect
I
candidates to
love
me.
MAs.
CRA or CNAs also, I mean, if you've been a CNA, CMA, I mean, you have transferable skills that you can utilize to your benefit. So I feel like that's another good one. But yeah, it's likely going to start, especially now. I think you're going to have to find something at the site level and move your way up.
Like the CROs are still hiring, but it's like they're very picky now, right? Like who they're hiring.
Yes.
I
And I
see.
think that's pretty much across the board.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, I'm glad you came out to SOS. Any other piece of advice? The job that you have is interesting because you're kind of like a CRA without the title. I mean, they call you remote site monitor, so you're monitoring, but you're not technically a CRA. What's like your biggest likes and dislikes about this role?
Well, I like that it is completely remote, and
You
I
work from
mean,
home, right? Don't go to the office at all.
correct. Yes.
Nice.
So completely remote. I've never had a remote job before this, so it's a new world to me, and
You like it?
I'm enjoying every second of it. I love it.
You don't get like cabin fever, like I want to get out, like you don't go through
Never,
that? No.
never.
Okay. All right.
I am happy to be home, happy to, I feel like my company also offers a lot of like networking opportunities where you can just talk to other people within the company. They have a lot of groups that meet virtually. Mentors are really big. So
Really?
yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine being remote. I'm
That's
not one of the
awesome.
people who yeah, needs to. I don't get cabin fever. I'm very
Okay.
happy at home.
All right. What about some of the things that you don't like as much about the role or?
Well, as you said, I mean, it can be hard to, as an in-house CRA, you do a lot of the monitoring things that a CRA does. You just don't go on site.
You know, as a site owner, someone who's worked at sites my whole life, when there is a value in a face-to-face monitoring visit, even like, I mean, we've worked with remote site monitors. I thought it was like an interesting idea. I mean, I see on paper how it could be effective. Like, it definitely kept us, like, our action item, at least the important ones. We got them done because of it. But it's kind of like annoying as a site to do remote tasks. It's a lot easier when the monitor comes in person. You develop more of a relationship. Even our actual monitors that come in, right? When they're remote and they're texting us or emailing us, hey, you know, we need this, this, and that done, it comes across like more annoying. But when they're in person, you just understand what they mean more. Like, they're less annoying. And it's more of a relationship at that point. So I think that that is important. I don't think CROs or sponsors should ever get rid of in-person monitoring visits because you build that rapport, that relationship, and there's just something that Zoom hasn't replicated or Teams or whatever you use.
And I agree. I don't think that on-site monitors should be eliminated. I just think that the barrier for remote to moving to an on-site monitor should not be so high.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool if remote site monitors can travel like once every four visits with the CRA just to introduce, hey, I'm their RSM. I know you've seen me on Teams, but here I am in person. You know, you get like I feel like when you go back, you'll have like higher compliance maybe for the things you ask for 'cause they've met you.
Yes, and I do. I mean, I try to make sure that I'm not being annoying, sending like ridiculous amounts of emails. I try to make sure that I summarize everything that I need in one email. I'm not reaching out to them multiple times a week.
I would be the worst RSM. I would be sending 100 emails a day with like one sentence in it.
Oh
Yeah, I'd be fired like in a week.
Well, and your sites would not like you very much either. So
Right.
I want to have a good relationship with all of my sites. I want them to know that I'm here to support them. I'm not trying to be, an annoying, burden on them, this is an extra benefit to them, like where they can ask questions or where we're closing out action items. And that's not always the most fun, but I try to.
Even if they sent you guys at the SIV just once, I think it would go a long way. Maybe somebody out there is watching will do it at one of these companies, but I think the small sponsors do it well. There's small sponsors that monitor their own stuff that I work with a few right now. They do that well. You get to meet the almost the entire team at one point or another. Like this person comes out to train you, this one comes out to do a visit, this one comes out for something else. You end up meeting the team. I think that goes a long way as opposed to just Zooms and calls. I don't know what it is. I think it's what makes us human. It's like we still can differentiate reality from virtual.
Agree. I mean, it's always nice to know who you're going to be working with, know who you're speaking to. You can see their little picture in the Teams bubble, but it's not always the same. So
But like I
I
met you at SOS. We talked maybe 3 minutes, right? Something like that. We talked on this Zoom for like an hour. I feel like a month from now, I'm gonna remember the SOS thing more than the Zoom, even though we spent more time on the Zoom.
I mean, the party was pretty fun, so
I think it's just the fact that we're there. It's like something that subconsciously, like your brain says that was more important because that was in person. And I think
I
we haven't
mean,
got rid of that yet.
yes, I think we are humans. We're always going to be humans, so we're going to crave that in-person interaction, the personal. You can't always tell over a Zoom call, or you can't always relate as well to someone over a Zoom call. So yes, I think you're correct. I mean, our world is moving to a very virtual, like hands-off, type of. I think I was just hearing you speak on a podcast about the Apple
AR, Apple,
glasses, yeah, and doing stuff with that, and
That's gonna
yeah.
happen. Like 3 years, I think I'll be wearing one doing these podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, but I do. I think we still need that human interaction. So having like going back to on-site IMBs and going back, or not IMBs, investigator meetings
Yeah,
and like
investigator meeting.
SIVs, having them in person. The way that you
Yes, it goes a long way. Yes.
does.
Dang, Karma. Well, it was so nice talking to you, getting to know you. Everybody go connect with Karma. She's got something about her. Like, who goes to save our sites? Obviously someone that cares about the people you work with. Like, that says a lot about your personality. No one forced you to go. Your company didn't even encourage you, I'm guessing.
No, just through, listening to you. And I was at the site. It was hard. It was hard to be a clinical research coordinator. So I feel for all of my site, all of my sites, all of my CRCs that I interact with on a weekly basis. I mean, I think that their change is definitely needed. And so I saw that, and I thought it was important for me to be there and learn.
Thank you for that. We need more people from CRO and especially on the frontline workers. You're exactly actually who we want at the conference. We don't want the executives and the C-suite. We want the RSMs. We want the CRAs, and we had a lot of them over there too. I know it saved our sites. We had a lot of CRO sponsor representatives from frontline workers, which was really awesome. So again, Karma, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the podcast. Watched for
Everybody,
so long.
thank you. Thank you. And now people are going to connect with you. They're watching you. You're an inspiration to many. Your career is just getting started. So keep up with Karma. Go to her LinkedIn. It's underneath this video and in the show notes. Again, thank you very much, Karma. We really appreciate it. Everyone go connect with her. Bye-bye.